You're listening to Wisdom of the Ancients, where ancient wisdom is remembered.
Hello and welcome, beautiful souls. Thank you so much for being here in the Wisdom Orb, in this space with us. We have a very, very exciting show planned for you today. But thank you so much for being in the collective consciousness and bringing your amazing energy to the show. We have a theme for this particular series called Collapsing the Illusion, Shedding the Layers, Revealing the Creator, the Creatrix that is within every single one of us, shedding the layers of illusion, revealing the truth, finding the true self that is you. So let me introduce our next guest to you. Considered a world-class seer, Elizabeth Wood works on the cutting edge of remote viewing, quantum healing, and quantum anthropology. With her lifelong ability to see into all dimensions and work with other dimensions of energy, her theoretical and psychic work has helped people all over the world. Called Living Library, Oracle, and Wayshower, Elizabeth has spent her whole life studying anthropological theory, quantum physics, ancient and modern medicine, and futurism. She has two science degrees, including a master's in applied anthropology. Her philosophies and practices bridge science and spirituality to support real change in the world. So it gives me great joy to welcome Elizabeth to the show. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's really my privilege, and it's a true joy to be in your field, Ian. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, today, everyone, Elizabeth is going to be sharing how to see, feel, and know truth, right? So just let those words right now, let them resonate and feel into those, because this is going to be a really amazing discussion around how truth shows up, right? How it shows up in our lives. And Elizabeth's going to share about the three minds, how they are the seat of the golden ratio in the body. Also, Elizabeth's going to be doing live readings, so *2 to raise your hand. So *2 to raise your hand if you're on the phone. If you're not on the phone, if you're on the webinar page, then put your question in the webinar box along with your name, and we'll get to as many as we can. And so you can ask Elizabeth pretty much what's coming to mind, but the question for the day is, which of your three minds needs to be opened fully right now for your best discernment? So which of your three minds needs to be opened fully right now for your best discernment? So if you wanted to ask that question again, start to raise your hand. So great show, great show. Let me start, Elizabeth. We have, of course, introduced you, but there might be people who would like to hear your background in your own words, certainly being recognized as a world-class seer. You've probably had a little bit of a journey of your own. And so I think it'd be wonderful if you could share just a little bit of that so that people can get to know you a little bit better.
Oh, I'd love to. Yes, absolutely. So it's interesting because I started out with my third eye wide open. I was a very weird kid, and I'm the oldest of seven, and so I was able to really be very supported by my family, my siblings, and my parents, and led myself into science, trying to find out why and how I was able to see what I could see. So I a little bit kind of selfishly got into science in that direction, and I was able to answer a certain amount of questions and be able to then get myself firmly on a spiritual path with that scientific knowledge to come in to the human experience. And I discovered anthropology midway through my college years, which is the study of the human race. And it's a tricky science because here we are humans studying humans, and how objective can you really be? But I found that the truth is so incredible, that the knowledge and wisdom that each individual uniquely holds is amazing, and it led me very deeply to look at the human body as a part of nature, but also our greatest tool. And so I'm madly in love with that, and I think that that piece is really where I come from, how to understand the human experience, not just as a physical 3D experience, but as a spiritual multidimensional experience. And then using science to help us get the measurable, very clear results we want out of that experience. And that is really quantum anthropology. It's a new branch of anthropology. And we ask ourselves, then, how does the quantum affect the human experience, and how does the human experience affect the quantum? And that's just incredible what has unfolded over these years.
Mm. Well, I think you've just posed the next question to yourself. So it's obviously, it's in the space, but I think that's a delightful way to start, is to have you delve into that a little bit more for us, especially, you know, personally, of those two questions, I would be very interested in how the human experience affects the quantum, but certainly from both directions is totally fine.
Yes, absolutely. This is what's been interesting about it, because I do study and continue to keep studying quantum physics. And certainly that branch of science is continuing to open up into new realms, new theories, which are very important to spiritual thinking. And so when I was looking at this, I was trying to find patterns. There's always patterns at every level of existence, and there's many layers of reality. So there's, you know, the reality layer of the atomic, and then there's the reality layer of the molecular, and then the cellular, etc., all the way up through to the universal. And yet there are clear patterns on each layer of reality. And so I wanted to know, well, how does the human being fit in to these layers of reality, and how can we find nature showing up in the human experience? And what I found was the golden ratio. And it's simply because Tesla, Nikola Tesla, was always very interested in that particular mathematical equation. And he always pointed out, if you can truly understand the golden ratio, then you can better understand the mind of God, is literally what he said. So I took that to heart, and I said, well, how does the golden ratio really show up in the human body exactly? And I also asked, how did the ancient peoples really understand the golden ratio in the body? Was there anybody who was looking at that? And certainly there was. One of the groups that I found that was looking at that and kind of maintained an understanding of the golden ratio in the body was the Taoists, the ancient Taoists, because they noticed that there were three very clear centers in the body. Just like if you were to see an ant, there's three very clear parts to the ant body, the head, the heart, and the gut. And so while they might not have necessarily extrapolated that three, the three minds, out to understand the golden ratio in the body, we can. And when I see the three minds, I can tell very clearly there's the brain, the heart, and the gut. So the head from the collarbone up, then we've got the chest, and then the gut. And those are that's the three, that's the center of the golden ratio in the body. Then if you divide the body in half, there's another replication of three showing up in the joints and the shoulders, elbows, and wrists. And then another replication from there in the three joints that show up in the fingers, which would be nine. So there's three and then six and then nine again. And that's just one way that the golden ratio will show up. But in my mind, this had incredible significance to how energy could flow in the body. So I said to myself, well, these three centers, this brain, heart, gut alignment is there for a reason. And what we find then, if we're looking at people's experiences, is that they will have one or more of those centers functioning at a very high level, and then the others perhaps not functioning at that level. Furthermore, those three centers actually maintain very spiritual significance, because the brain mind's capability is to be able to perceive energy outside the self and through many dimensions. We know scientifically that's possible, because the brain actually literally has 12 dimensions of structure that it creates. That's actually a new study that came out in the past year, over the brain mind actually creating 12 dimensions of structures. That's a clue that the brain is capable of perceiving 12 dimensions of information. And then that's the ability for us to perhaps see more information behind what we see from just the 3D using the third eye. Then we have the heart, of course. And, you know, that's not to leave out the throat. The throat's the bridge between the brain and the heart. And when someone has a disconnect, for example, between the brain and heart, usually there's trauma around the throat, trauma around not being heard, not being understood. And that can make you feel really cut off. So you either hang out only in the brain or you hang out only in the heart, and you're such an overwhelmed empath because you're feeling so much energy, but then you have a hard time making decisions in the brain mind. So lots of different combos of experience can happen. But then the heart, the heart's amazing. The heart, it doesn't hardly regenerate at all. And Ian, when we finally leave these bodies, most of the heart has been with us since the womb. It's really incredible how much memory is stored in the heart. And there's only three things in the body that don't hardly regenerate at all, and that's neurons, the lenses of your eyes, and the heart. And so that heart creates a field of energy that's measurable, an electromagnetic field, which is 3,000 times stronger than the brain's field. And that field's so big and so powerful, it can communicate to all of the cells of the body, but also maintain a perfect body memory without any details lost. So the heart can remember, you know, how I picked up my fork last Thursday for dinner or whatever. And that's amazing because the heart can tell you, hey, I know I have experience with this, or I don't have experience with this. And whether or not you remember in your brain or not doesn't matter, because the heart will remember. But wow, what an incredible thing. If we've had a lot of trauma then the heart will feel blocked. It'll feel heavy because you might be wearing armor to keep people away, you know, keep the pain away. And so then we lose the spiritual ability to feel into energy if that part of the body's blocked. And then we have the gut, and the gut's interesting because when you're speaking to the gut mind, you're not really actually speaking to your intestines. You're speaking to the bacteria that live in the gut, and they are emissaries of the earth. And truly, if you, for example, were to suddenly freeze dry me, most of the DNA that you'd find in that pile of dust is actually going to be bacteria, not even my own DNA. So our bodies are a symbiotic mechanism, truly a machine of sorts, an incredibly unique and very complex machine that has a relationship with the earth, and the gut mind is able to tap into that. That's also going to help us feel into the spiritual ability of the gut, which is intuition. It's to be able to know what's right or what's in harmony with the planet. So that's an incredible piece, but what blocks us from the gut? Well, all kinds of different things. We live in a society with all kinds of processed foods that would block us from a very rich gut biome. For example, the hunter-gatherers in Central Africa, a couple years ago, they did a test to see what kind of gut biome those hunter-gatherers have. The Kungsan people, who have a very lovely click language, they don't actually, they haven't changed much at all in many, you know, hundreds of thousands of years. And their gut biome had up to 1,000 different bacteria living in the gut, whereas the average American actually has only between 10 to 30, which is mind-blowing how cut off we are from that incredible counsel available to us from the bacteria in the gut. So I found this to be one of the most profound ways of understanding the human body, and in application, watching the measurable results occur when people work with that configuration, especially understanding how the three minds function. And then, you know, we can further extrapolate from there, the right and left side representing the six in the 3-6-9 combo, Well, that's replication, that's duality, that's spiritual and physical, that's polarities, and it's also reproduction. And then we also can look at the whole, which is 9. And 9 is really magical. If you multiply 9, for example, by any number, the sum of that final number will always be 9. And it shows us sort of a key code. That's the key code that links you to all the layers of reality from which that same ratio continues beyond us. We're simply part of an ongoing living fractal of the golden ratio in this universe. And to be able to notice that or just be aware of it as a mindset can reconnect you to nature, which reconnects you to global consciousness, galactic consciousness, universal consciousness. And by golly, that's really where we're going, isn't it? To be able to shift into incredibly high levels of consciousness and function still in these bodies in the 3D. And I feel that that's the job. That's what we're here to do. And I'm so glad to be able to share that wisdom. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. And fascinating. Fascinating. The question that comes to mind for me right now, Elizabeth, is regarding the ratio itself and also the relationship between the three minds, brain, heart, and gut. So what is the significance of all three acting in unison? So
right.
So that really is the question. I'm sure that all three have a specific job, which you've done a wonderful job outlining. But I think all three being part of the whole, a third, a third, a third, to lead us to what?
Yeah, what is that experience like? Because it's easy to talk about problems. It's one thing to talk about that, but then what's the outcome when you've arranged a flow between all three that's consistent? Well, first, for me, I can only speak from my experience and the experience of people I've helped attain that level of consciousness, really. So I'll speak from my experience. At first, it was really weird to consider a completely different configuration than one that I'd traditionally been savvy about, which is the chakras. And so I spent a lot of time kind of focusing in on thinking about my body as the golden ratio. And with that came a whole lot more energy flow, faster energy flow, brain, heart, gut, gut, heart, brain, no problem, allowing energy to flow quite quickly between those three areas of the body. And then secondly, the biggest change was being able to feel more fully in my body. And honestly, as a psychic, that's one of my hardest things, to stay grounded in my body because I'm seeing so much information all the time. So to feel really at home in my body, comfortable with my body, and then lastly, to receive constant feedback from all three minds simultaneously, to see, to feel, and to know all the time, and for them to happily communicate to one another. I've retrained my body to do that. And so now when I go into a situation or I'm, for example, perhaps doing a session for someone, I'm using all three of my spiritual skill sets all at once to make sense of information, and this leads us into discernment, which truly is one of the most important things that we could all be taking part in. It makes the discernment easy. And, you know, I don't think that asking for help is something that's wrong at all. In fact, I always need help because when we're in our own experience, it can be hard. But one of the most important things we need to do as humans is to recognize our sovereignty and to be able to be empowered in the moment to make quick decisions and not feel like we need to constantly depend on anything outside the self. So it reconnects me to source, to the source field, where all that wisdom and knowledge is available, so I can see, feel, and know. And I used to only function from my third eye. So I had completely cut off my ability to feel and my intuition from my gut. And this changed the game entirely. I can actually make much, much better decisions. And as a seer, you know, you can be deceived by what you see. Just because you see it doesn't mean you know it. And that, you know, I had to come down off my high horse of arrogance around seeing and recognize that all three of these abilities absolutely is our divine birthright to really see, feel, and know the truth. Well, to feel then from my heart space has been probably my greatest challenge. But when I can serve someone with that full feeling of all of that energy and then feel into my gut and know that that's true, what I'm telling that person, then my ability to serve is heightened by 1,000%.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it so much easier to trust what I'm saying. And then I can ask that person, well, how does that feel? Do you feel that's right? Do you resonate with that in your body? Getting them to feel into what I've said to them so they can decide if that's true or not. Because it doesn't matter what I say. What matters is if that person resonates with what I say. And knowing that that is how we can function has changed everything for me. And that's how my experience has led to this profound, completely different functioning in the world and fully grounded in my body and enjoying being in my body.
Right, right. You know, you mentioned discernment, and I want to talk about that a little bit more in greater detail, because I think that there's a lot of people who might not necessarily trust what they're feeling,
yeah,
maybe through just an inability to trust themselves or trust the divine. And it could be based on experience,
yeah,
but whatever that's based on, that discernment, you know, knowing what truly is truth and being able to tell the difference, I think, in layman's terms between truth and non-truth or whatever that is,
yeah,
is coming through is so important, I think, to this whole process. Could you share a little bit more about discernment, why it's so important, and really in your own words, what really is discernment?
Yeah, I've been looking into this for obviously some time. And I find that discernment can be very misunderstood. And I think that discernment is the opposite of judgment. Judgment is when we run the experience that we are in, whether that be that you're in a place and you're experiencing something, or you're interacting with another person, or whatever might be going on in your 3D life. Judgment's when we take that information that's coming from the experience that we're having, and then we run it through egoic structure. And so we'll run it through our painful trauma and experiences. We'll run it through like a lens. We'll run that information through us, through that lens of trauma, through the lens of attachment, through the lens of resistance or expectations, negative programming, limiting beliefs. We'll run all that info through that, and then we make a judgment. Discernment is when we shift all of those things aside, literally like taking off a pair of gray glasses, right? So we can truly see the correct colors of light and information available coming through to us. We put all of that egoic structure aside, and discernment is the pure information, not tainted by our egoic structure. And that's what we need at the moment, especially because the new earth requires us to do mergers of energy, collaborative mergers of energy, like you and I are doing today. We've merged energy to have this discussion. And that means that we've had to shift any egoic structures aside. We've discerned that this merger would be useful for the people that we serve. And we've created a new space with our field to be able to share information. But that's how New Earth is all going to be rebuilt, is from those simple interactions that are fully discerned. Is this fully right for me? Am I on the right path? Is this the next right step? and to see it, to feel it, to know it fully without running it through our trauma is key to us getting anything done. So it's absolutely a foundation for what I would say is the new foundation of New Earth, which is equanimity. And equanimity requires many different things: good quality discernment, humility, neutrality, amongst many different pieces, of course. But I think that if I was to emphasize the importance of discernment in a person's daily life, well, simply to be able to know something quite incredible that, and this is a wonderful mantra to say, so this would be a good tip for those of you who feel separated from the divine. You might say to yourself from the heart space, so when we speak from the heart space, we are commanding the whole body. And if you don't like the word commanding, that's okay. I came from a military family, so maybe you'll use a different word. But I like the idea that we're commanders of these body spaceships. That's fun for me. So I like to say that we can command from the heart. So here's a wonderful way to command from the heart, to talk to your whole body. And we might say, dear heart, please lift any dark or dense energies, any negative programming, any attachment, expectations, resistance, and any judgment up, down, or out of my whole body and field now. And then take a big deep breath. And then we'll welcome in this new mantra. Dear heart, please fill my whole body and field, my mind, my heart, and my gut with the knowing that to trust the divine is to trust myself, and to trust myself is to trust the divine now. And then take another deep breath. And when we do that, we'll welcome in, we tell the whole body from the heart space, we tell all those little cells and all of your molecules and atoms that this is the truth that you want to fully embody. And we've moved energy out of the way that was blocking our capacity for that discernment, and we replace it with what we want because of physics. Because if we don't replace the energy, then something will come right back. That stuff might come back, or something will come in to replace it that we don't want. And so this is an easy way for you to start to work from a different mind, not just your brain, but from the heart space. And then you can start to work with the gut mind too. You can ask the gut mind different questions that you know the answer to. For example, dear gut, do I love my kids? Yes, of course. So I'll know then, my gut will tell me yes, because I know the answer to that. Or, dear gut, do I like to eat rocks? Nope, don't like to eat rocks. And so we'll tell, okay, the gut says no. That's how it feels for the gut to give me an answer. And then those two particular tips, if you're asking your three brains different questions that you know the answer to, then you'll feel the answer. You'll get to know how those brains talk to you, because they each speak differently from one another. And you're going to be communicating to the body. But who's communicating to the body exactly? Who's the one commanding it? Well, Ian, you and I, we aren't really Elizabeth and Ian. We're souls. We're immortal, multidimensional souls that live in these bodies named Elizabeth and Ian. And the same goes for all of the people listening. And that's who is in charge, the witness of the soul, the true objective soul. And that's the cool part about anthropology or quantum anthropology, is that now I'm the observer from the soul level, observing the human experience, and I can be much more objective from that mindset, and so can all of us, to be true spiritual scientists. So that's my long answer to what is discernment in the first place and why is it important?
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. And so I love the exercise, because there's such a degree of practicality that's really needed here with us humans. You know, we can't just live completely out in the ethers. You know, we have to have
right.
Some sort of human experience, because we have a human body and we do have a human experience. And so the practicality, I just love it. So are there other ways for us to help us open to the power of these various brains? You mentioned getting to know the answer with the yes, no question, so we know how they respond. Are there other ways that we can open up to the power of these centers?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start with the brain mind, because the third eye is usually the one part of the brain mind that people are concerned about, but there's more to the brain mind, obviously, than the third eye. First, the brain mind's very, very good at pros and cons. The brain mind's constantly doing pros and cons. And so when you're trying to make decisions, then you're going to want to use the capacity of pros and cons that the brain mind will have. And that's one thing that I think people underuse, because the brain is quite good at organizing information that way in the moment. Secondly, we often will be very disconnected from the subconscious. And the subconscious is sort of like our basement. And the brain mind will shove all sorts of stuff down there, including traumatized versions of yourself. And those traumatized versions of you, whether it was, you know, a month ago or 30, 40, 50 years ago, they didn't go anywhere. They're still hanging out with their needs unmet. And the brain mind will compartmentalize that in the subconscious and will actually experience those voices of those traumatized versions of us who need stuff still. We'll experience them sort of as like a cacophony of voices. And that is very important, because those different voices are speaking from needs that weren't met, trauma that wasn't met. So in order to heal the brain mind, for example, you'll want to actually spend some time sussing out exactly which versions of you you'll want to be working with and healing. It is very good to open up the subconscious and go in to discover which parts of you are really continuing to speak from their needs, because that eventually, if you're able to heal them, and there are many different ways to do that, but if you're able to work with them and give them what they need, then you're going to be able to have an easier time using your third eye. So there's a really good carrot on the stick reason why you want to address your own trauma. Mm-hmm. Because trauma will absolutely block you from being able to perceive multidimensional information. So once that's addressed and your trauma is something that you're always going to work on. I mean, I'm still always working on newer trauma that I might have incurred, but I'm on top of it so I can make sure that's not actually creating any kind of interference with what I'm seeing. And then how can we use the third eye? Well, there's a little bit of a misunderstanding about the third eye, in my opinion. It's not something that can just be turned on like a switch. It's a muscle. And so I want to give people a couple of different things that they can do to start strengthening that muscle. Easy stuff that'll be fun. Nothing that'll take you too far or too deep, but just easy, natural things that'll come easily to anyone. I'll often have people say, you know, what's blocking my third eye? Why can't I see my angels and things like that? Or how come I can't see or hear my guides? And I'll say, well, there's nothing wrong with your third eye. The problem is that the third eye, it's learned how to only function internally. So the third eye can actually function two different directions, externally or internally. So how does the third eye function internally? Well, that would happen if you were to be asked, can you imagine a tree, for example? Of course, if you can imagine a tree just now, your third eye is fine. if you can read a book and imagine what's happening in the book, your third eye is fine. Okay, so if that's the case and you're not perceiving energy externally, but you can perceive it internally, then we need to trick the brain into letting you perceive external info. And there's a very simple reason for why the third eye might only function internally. It's because we've been told and programmed to believe that the imagination isn't real. And that is one of the most insidious programs out there, because that's not true. Your imagination is your literal doorway into every layer of existence and every dimension you've ever wanted to tap into. And so if that's the case, we need to basically build the muscle of the third eye to function externally now. And there's a really simple way to begin doing that. If you've ever been someplace you've really enjoyed being, sit in meditation and imagine being there again. But don't just ask yourself what you're going to see. Ask other sensory questions. There's many, many different clairs. There's clairs for taste. There's clairs for smell. There's clairs for hearing and touch. There's clairs for seeing. So ask yourself, okay, I loved being on this beach, on this particular island that we went on vacation at, perhaps. So what does it feel like when you're walking around? What temperature is it exactly? What do you smell while you're walking around? What does it feel like when you touch the water? How does the temperature change? What do you hear while you're walking around? Now, your brain is remembering what it experienced, but what has actually happened is that you've gone to that place via remote viewing. It's so easy to do remote viewing. Almost everyone that I speak to can do basic remote viewing. That's external functions of the third eye. So start there and then go sit at your computer and do this daily. Go sit at your computer and then say, all right, where do I want to visit now? Oh, I've always wanted to visit, this really cool castle in Germany. All right, so you pull up the castle and you look at lots of pictures of it for a few minutes until your brain is like, okay, I can imagine being there. Only takes a few minutes. Then you sit and you use your imagination again. You pretend you're going to go walk around the castle. What does it feel like going room to room? What do you smell? What does the walls feel like along that hallway? What does it feel like to, what does a suit of armor smell like? All these interesting questions that you're going to ask yourself as you're wandering around. And don't try to control what you see. Just wander around. This is all very safe. You're not going to run into any interference. It's all very natural, basic remote viewing capability of the third eye. And you will be building your muscle quite well within a month of doing this at the most. You'll start to be able to have a bit more of a mindset shift because your brain's not going to keep fighting you whenever you tap into what you want to really see. So then practice with that. If you've got, for example, here's a fun little 3D thing you can do if you're in the grocery store. So do you want to know if something is genetically modified or not? Great question. Well, guess what? You can psychically perceive that. So take a hold of the food around you. Perhaps you know that that one particular food is GMO and the other one isn't. So then take, the GMO corn in one hand and the organic corn in the other, and you're going to actually imagine the corn in front of you. You're going to close your eyes and imagine it in your hand. You know it's there in your 3D hand, but you're going to imagine the corn. And then what's the difference? What's the energy difference? Is one more bright yellow and the other one's blue? Or what color kind of comes off? What kind of energy wavelengths do you perceive? Don't assume that it's all going to look like corn, because it won't. It's going to look like energy. And then, of course, feel from your heart, too. Can you feel the difference in the energy? Knowing that that one particular ear of corn is GMO, is there a feeling that you can tap into that's different from the organic one that might also triangulate with what you're seeing too when you imagine the corn in your hand, right? So that's a really handy way to start to triangulate what you feel with what you see. And then you're going to start to really tap into how discernment works for you, but you'll use it in a practical way, building the strength of the third eye. So obviously there's probably, there is lots more to be done with the brain mind, but that's the basics. That's usually the most common questions I get. Then we've got the heart. Some folks feel really blocked from feeling energy. And if I may point out that most of the people who come to me with trouble around feeling energy are men. That's not across the board. There's many men who feel incredibly and are extremely good empaths, and many women who feel very blocked from feeling energy too. But most of them tend to be men, and here's why. Because the masculine power center is the heart. And you can actually see that if you put a man and a woman next to one another, you can see that the balance of the masculine is the upper body. That's where all the strength is in the body. And then all the strength and balance of the feminine is actually in the pelvis, which is a clue that the gut mind is actually the feminine seat of power. So when men, they come into this world, or anyone who feels blocked from their heart, coming into the world, they're feeling so much, and all the power is trying to run through their heart into their 3D experience. And the power of the masculine is to manifest through the heart, and manifest, mani, manu, means hands, to literally be able to create using the hands. And that's exactly what the masculine body is excellent at doing, is manifesting. And so when men especially feel blocked, or in general people feel blocked, it's usually because they've built up literally an armor around them because they've been hurt. Of course they did, because they've been hurt. So knowing that, however, can be a big game changer. That means that you can actually imagine using your third eye, the armor you've created. What does it look like? Literally be able to name it for yourself. I'll give an example. My father, for example, he's ex-military, and I did a session for him finally after, you know, 35 years. I was able to serve my father. And in a session, I said to him, "Dad, you're wearing armor." And I said, "I can see it, but can you perceive what you're wearing?" And he said, "Well, yes, I am. I'm wearing my flak jacket." And I said, "Dad, it's time to take it off, because your true ability to protect yourself has never come from that flak jacket. It's always ever come from your unconditional love. Unconditional love helps us maintain incredible objectivity and is very highly protective." And so I actually led him through. We didn't throw out the flak jacket. We put it in a safe place. But I led him through, you know, unhooking the Velcro front and unzipping it and taking it off one shoulder at a time, and just taking it off and putting it aside with gratitude because it had saved his life. And he was also wearing a backpack, which we had to literally unpack too. But that flak jacket, just him removing it, I said, "How does that feel?" And he said, "Oh my goodness, I can feel my body now. I can feel energy now. I can feel expansive now." And he said, I literally just stood up more straight because it's not weighing me down anymore." He had been spiritually and subconsciously wearing this flak jacket to protect his heart. And now he doesn't have to live like that anymore. Now he can be free. And he actually was able to lose weight and feel more connected with pure unconditional love to the people around him since then. So that's a really good key example. And women will wear armor too. I've seen women literally like put cast iron armor around their heart space. And boy, if anyone knows what cast iron feels like, that's heavy.
Yeah.
Imagine walking around with a cast iron armor around you. It's horrible.
So, yeah. Wonder how many people on the call can feel that way.
I know, I'm wondering too. Yeah, and then we get to the gut mind. You know, obviously I'm just dipping into what's available here, but the gut mind is so amazing, because again, we're not talking to our bodies when we talk to the gut mind. We're talking to the emissaries of the earth, the bacteria who've been here for millions and billions of years. And they know Gaia. they know Gaia and her harmonics better than we do. And so when we speak to them, we get that gut intuition. This is why we have adages about this. I have a gut feeling. I have a gut feeling that I need to get the heck out of this situation. And, you know, when people trust that gut feeling and then something bad happens and they just narrowly escaped it, that's that gut feeling. That's the gut bacteria saying, if you want to survive and survive in harmony with the earth, listen to us. And what do we do to that gut bacteria? Well, we basically will do everything to numb it and not a whole lot to be able to propagate it. So how do we propagate the gut bacteria? Well, first off, this whole super over cleanly lifestyle is a detriment to us. So get your hands in the dirt. Get your hands in the dirt. Get out there and be dirty. That's number one. And get barefoot on the planet, because that bacteria is constantly getting repropagated with bacteria from your place, wherever you're living. So I happen to live on a farm in Kentucky, and my little farm, I have a working farm, and that means that, you know, a lot of work, literally. Right before the call, I was gardening. So we're constantly getting our hands in the soil, but it's very special soil. It's going to be unique to this area and this place. And the more I get my hands out there, the more I become one with the earth, and the more I can trust my gut intuition, my inner deep knowing, because then I'm in resonance physically with the planet, and not just any part of the planet, exactly where I am in the 3D, in the physical. So being able to ground yourself with the gut mind, being able to be bare with the soil and just hang out with the earth as she is, naked and natural, is so beautiful and key to nurturing and cultivating the gut. And now I have something kind of bold to say here, because we are ruining our gut biome with probiotics. And there's multiple new scientific studies out about this. Don't take probiotics anymore unless you're medically advised to do so. Instead, do what our ancient ancestors did. Eat fermented foods. That will help your gut biome more than anything. Ancient humans didn't eat probiotics. They ate fermented foods from nature, and that was what kept them healthy and helped them have deeper knowing in their bodies and deeper trust of Gaia. So I think that that's important, because we are really used to, and I mean, for years I've been telling people to take probiotics, and I'm stopping now because it's true. It's not an ancient way of functioning. And that's important to me. How did the ancient people bring information through? That's why I love this show, because it's all about that. How did they bring it through? How can we get back to our highest, most very, very beginning original state, where we were tapped into all 12 dimensions and fully tapped into the source field and Gaia all at once? That's what we want. So those are my tips around the gut mind. Obviously, again, I'm just touching the surface. But it's very important to consider the gut mind as your connection to Gaia through the emissaries of the earth.
Wow. Fascinating. Fascinating. I think I've said that multiple times. It really is, Elizabeth. Wonderful, wonderful call. And I want to go to questions, because I know there's a lot of people with their hands up. But I've got one question of my own quickly before we do that. To what degree does our reliance on technology or attraction to technology, always looking at our phones, always looking at our computers, interfere with our ability to connect with our various minds?
Yeah, that's interesting too, because I'm from the generation who the internet came into my life when I was a preteen. That was when the internet first became mainstream. So I'm probably the last generation who actually had a childhood without the internet. And I think it's very important So let's kind of define this here, because there's, you know, for example, probiotics are technically technology. So what technology are we going to address in this particular question? Let's focus in on electronics.
Yeah.
And that's key. Okay, so we know now with scientific evidence that Wi-Fi, for example, messes with cellular growth. We know that. We know that different kinds of 4G, 5G wavelengths mess with all kinds of different functions in the body. We know that's true. However, I would like to point out that you actually have a lot of control over how affected you are by that tech. And so, for example, I've been testing this out on myself because I'm my best guinea pig. And I actually will maintain different experiments. So I will experiment with Wi-Fi especially. And if I turn off my cell phone's Wi-Fi at night, for example, I've tested this out. I am able to sleep better than if it's on, even if my phone's silent. My gut feels better, and I feel less inflammation when I turn off Wi-Fi at night. But during the day, I actually have found that I'm not as affected by it because I'm constantly maintaining a communication with my heart mind. So my electromagnetic field around my body is something that I can control, and that's absolutely the case for all of us. So this has implications. This means that when I'm not in conscious control, when I'm asleep, then my electromagnetic field is in sleep mode. It's in pause mode. It's doing other things. And that means that my field is more susceptible to wavelengths of energy like Wi-Fi versus when I'm awake. And so when I'm awake, I'm fully in control of my field very consciously. And I found that I'm not having any problems or any interference when I have my Wi-Fi on during that time. Now, when it comes to 5G, that's a different wavelength. And that's one that we're seeing pop up a lot over the U.S. at least. That's something that, again, we're going to have to learn how to keep fully in control of our energy fields. So the implications of this is something that we're going to keep having to practice with, because simply there's just not been enough spiritual science, and not just normal science, spiritual science, considering the spiritual implications all the time, the quantum implications of our activities. Now, there's not enough spiritual science, so I encourage everyone who's listening to play with this, play with different functions, play with different wavelengths, see how it feels, see how your family sleeps, or your animals actually are good at telling you what's going on too. See how everybody functions if you turn off the Wi-Fi at night, and then see if you actually sleep better and keep doing that for a week, and then turn it on at night for a few days and see if there's actually a big difference. And then do the same with smart meters and et cetera. If you have control over those things or are able to stop smart meter flow in whatever way, some people have been able to find ways like putting layers of aluminum around the smart meters actually can limit its extension, and you can practice with this. But we need more time. We need more people focusing on this. We need more spiritual scientists out there actually practicing with this. Now, something that we know already is orogone. Orogone is able to dissipate electromagnetic frequencies that are not the same as the body. So we know that for sure. We have had spiritually adept scientists at the turn of the century who were highly suppressed, like Dr. Rife, for example, and there's a whole lot of them. But Dr. Rife played with orogone too, and he saw that frequencies had incredible effects on the body. So my answer isn't straightforward. I think it's that we need more people looking at this, because your experiences are part of the measurable results. your experiences are not anecdotal. There are so many people all over this world constantly having incredible experiences, and then the classic scientific world completely throws them under the bus and says, it doesn't mean anything, that's anecdotal. That's not true. Every single human experience, your experience, is incredibly vital to the body of knowledge that the collective has access to. No more suppression, especially around the tech piece. We have more work to do, so I encourage everyone, experiment, and then share your ideas, share your results, and see, you know, what are the different changes that can happen, how more tapped into the brain, heart, gut, or the psychic ability, the empath ability, and the divine, deep, intuitive, knowing ability can you get your body to be able to tap into with or without technology? So I think that's actually a good call to action for us to start using scientific method to discover spiritual results.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing. Well, let's go to the phones, shall we, Elizabeth? And we'll start with Washington, Virginia. Washington, Virginia, the last four digits of your phone number are 9248. 9248. You're on live with Elizabeth. You should be on live.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Welcome.
Very good.
All right. I have a question. You were talking about the cooperative mergers of energy, and
yes.
I've always connected to Sirius, and recently I've been getting a lot of information about energy and interrelating with some of the energy through Sirius. And I'm trying to learn from that, and I wonder if you have anything to add, or you sense anything, or whatever.
Oh yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So the Syrians are, and so this is my anthropological viewpoint, and I just want to give a little slight background here, like why I sound so confident when I'm talking about Syrians instead of just humans, because I'm constantly interfacing with many, many different species, not just humans, and
okay.
I kind of continue to look at all these different species as a sort of an anthropologist who's studying how these different interfaces affect humanity. And the truth is, straight up, that yes, absolutely, we have had incredible influence from all these different beings, whether 3D or multidimensional. And it's very important for us to acknowledge that, finally, from a scientific viewpoint, and say that it's true. You're right. You're not nuts. You're having a true, real experience. So what do I know about the Syrians? And I tend to look at things without a whole lot of other influence, because I kind of came into this spiritual work from the back door. And I have focused in on, well, what am I able to suss out here? And that's what I'm going to offer now. So with the Syrians, they are engineers of consciousness. They had a hand in this experiment on Earth. They're very interested in how consciousness and experiments in consciousness are engineered. And so one of the most important things that's happening at the moment is that anyone who has a relationship with the Syrians are getting huge amounts of info at the moment. So you're not alone, first thing to say. And secondly, that's really important, because those people are going to sort of, if we could use the term, get activated or turned on of sorts, those are the folks who are getting turned on right now. There's going to be different levels and layers of people who will start to have more experiences, especially from their own lineages. So the Syrians, with that knowledge around the engineering of consciousness, they are absolutely coming through at the moment, because they're here for this grand reset. You see, the experiment here on the Earth has been reset. What does that mean? Well, originally, the experiment was all about how to be able to maintain connection to all dimensions of light and information at the same time while being in a 3D body. That was the simple experiment. That's it. Wasn't supposed to be more complicated than that. But, you know, just like any experiment, you have outliers and all kinds of different outliers, many different outliers have happened to humanity. And one of them had to do with subjugation of our energy. That's over now. That's why all the systems of humanity, which had anything to do with what we've been calling the Matrix, that anything to do with the Matrix are crumbling. They're falling apart from the inside out. So if you're looking at any sort of system like that, it's just falling apart. It's slow, but it's still falling apart. That's a good sign. And so the reset has happened. The job is now redefined again as the original job to continue the connection of all dimensions, including to the direct source field. The direct source field is where all the dimensions and all the fractals and layers of reality expand from. And that we're supposed to be tapped in 100% to all of those. The human body itself is made to do that. And that's what we're being led to do again. Now, there's plenty of work to do. It's not that we're going to attain enlightenment with the mind alone anymore. Now we've got to fully embody those levels of enlightenment. For a long time, we could skip over dimensions and just see them and know them and then go into enlightenment mentally. But then we didn't bring the body with us into those states of enlightenment. And that's actually what the job is. So the Sirians are going to help us do that, among many other beings. And they are great grand emissaries of knowledge around engineering of consciousness. When it comes to the merging of fields, they're experts. They're experts. So they are here now at the moment bringing through incredible amounts of info to anyone who's connected to them to be able to bring us together to create mergers. And this is the end of one of the things that made the Matrix function so well, which is competition. Here's why competition is dead. Because me, Ian, you beautiful caller, we are so incredibly unique that we literally can't compete. The idea that we compete or can compete is nuts. It's not true. You can't. I can't compete with Ian. There's no way. I'm like a completely different species in myself. There's no possible way that competition could ever bring any fruition. So instead, we're being retaught how to merge and create new fields by merging. And that doesn't mean that I'll stay merged with Ian forever. But that experience of merging with Ian will deeply affect my experience quantumly, and same with him. And what we've created will be new, and then that gets fed into the collective grid of humanity. And all we had to do was just simply be together and communicate to one another. So every time you communicate to anyone around you, whether it's via words or body language, there's just a slight, gentle, subtle, and temporary merger that happens. And those mergers are constantly informing your reality. So the mergers can be long and very complex and very deep, or they can be just slight little touches, little brief touches. But that function is something that already happens all the time in nature around us. You know, for example, Andromeda is literally on a collision course with our galaxy. Andromeda and the Milky Way will be one brand new galaxy not so long from now, which is many millions of years, but it's not that long. And furthermore, we know that universes apparently can bump into one another. So it's actually left a permanent mark on our universe because we bumped into another universe at one point, and we can actually see that. So that's how incredible this idea of mergerhood and long-term, very subtle but important effects will happen over our lifetimes. So hopefully that helps you, that you're on the right track. Keep listening to what they have to say, and then try to implement anything practical they might give you. But that's the goal of the Syrians, is to help us to fully be able to do these mergers properly and also help us reset the experiment in consciousness.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your help. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for
calling. You're welcome.
Okay. Beautiful. Okay, let's go to Palm Desert, California, and it's 1020 Palm Desert, California. Hi, you're online.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wonderful messages I'm getting here. I wrote something in, but I'll just go ahead and say it because I'd rather talk to you about it. My name's Diane, first off. And I do have 369 in my numerology for my name and my birth date. And
yay.
I've had a lot of, I can't escape it. Plus I'm a 9, so I'm here to complete something,
too.
Right? Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then this is my last time. Anyway.
Oh, good. So you're
I've
the last wave of consciousness. Good.
Good. I've come into my purpose. I want to help, people raise their consciousness through their higher selves. But I just, sometimes I feel like so responsible because I want to be perfect at it. I don't want to be saying something, but I do know that I just tell them, if it doesn't resonate, don't take it. Just take whatever resonates and let the rest go, because
exactly,
there's
yeah.
So many
mm-hmm.
There's so many times I've had really phenomenal different clairs come through, and in every way, shape, and form, just different things come through when I least expect it, from spontaneous healing to past life viewing without even looking for it. It just comes, So I'm just saying, I want to be able to know if I need to hone in on one thing or just let them all come when they need to come. Because sometimes I'm off when I'm trying to, test it, like a time in the day or something.
Oh, yes, I got you covered. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what would you guess? Just let it come, because I'm totally, I feel like I've opened my third eye because I've already had the blue pearl.
Yeah, you're talking about an advanced seeing question, so let me help you out here.
Okay.
So here's the deal. When you're doing this kind of seeing for others, you want to take it baby steps, right? So this is a challenge
for
anyone who's seeing.
For me.
Yeah.
Not
okay,
for others.
For you
just
too.
For me.
And well, either way.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Either way. Baby steps. Even for you. So this is how I'll suss out information, and it's really worked well for me. So let's just say that it's for you, and this can go for anyone who might be getting info for yourself. So first you want to go, okay, so where's this info coming from? And if you can say, all right, well, I know it's coming from this guide, and I know this guide, or I know it's coming from the source field, and that's familiar, or maybe it's a new guide, and you're not sure if it's the right info from this new guidance. So then you'll want to feel into that energy, and you just get a piece of information, and then you'll stop them. So a good guide, and one that's there to help you out, especially if they're new, will stop when you ask them to stop. And so secondly, you're going to constantly drop it from your third eye into your heart space so you can feel whether or not it's real or not. And lastly, if there's guidance or information coming in and it has any kind of energy that might be feeding into your ego, it's time to take a look at where that guidance came from. So how does something feed into the ego? This is how to determine if something is what I call false light. And I'll give you an example. At one point, I had this. I was totally desperate. I was in a terrible situation. I had a brand new infant in a completely, might as well just been a completely different country. I moved from Washington State, from Olympia, to the middle of Kentucky. And I was all alone, had no support. I had an infant and a 2-year-old and a teenager. And I was alone. I had to work while still watching my children, which if anyone's had to do that, you know how hard it is. So I was desperate. I was so alone and feeling really, really bad about myself. And suddenly this beautiful being that looked like an incredible angel appeared to me and asked me, Elizabeth, would you like to finally help the world the way you're meant to help the world? And I should have just known right then that this being was not there to help me, because it was immediately feeding into my savior complex. Mm-hmm. Don't you want to save the world? Well, yes, of course I do. And then, of course, it tried to give me exclusive information. Oh, I'm going to give you special exclusive information that no one else has. Mm-hmm. That's another clue that that's not going to serve you, because information, all information, is from the source field and belongs to all of us. And
yeah, I don't think
that
I
was...
I'm going to interrupt you only because I've never... that coming from another outside thing. It's always been just my, it's just shown up like, say, I just felt like I was going to get healing, so I felt it and I got it instantly. Or if I happened to be, toning for the first time and I looked over and I saw someone that I loved and was with a, headdress on from a past life, that kind of stuff. You know, it's never been something I had someone come and say, we're going to help. I don't
Very
even follow
good. I'm
guys.
Glad to hear that.
Guys out there. I just go from what's in.
So you're getting stuff straight from the source field, and you're going to remember more. And this goes for everybody, everyone on this call. You will remember more. The more you shift trauma out and the more you're willing to be in harmony with the earth, you're going to remember more, because she's embodying all of these very formless energies. She's building capacity for light. So just continue to feel. That's the best advice I have for you. Just feel into it. Keep feeling into it. If at any point it's not your heart's not so sure, just step back again.
Yeah, well, I mean,
keep
like
checking in.
If I wake up and I want to know if my intuition's right, sometimes I'll just wake up and I have no idea what time it is. But then if I want to know, I want to see if it's right. Something will pop into my mind and some. It'll be right on the
button.
Yeah,
that's fun. Keep experimenting.
It'll be like hours off.
You're right.
No, but I want to be able to know what's right and what's not, because I don't feel like I can trust it yet, because sometimes it's off and sometimes it's amazing. But I do write it down, thank God, so I keep a journal, so I'm honoring it, so it'll come back. But I just don't feel like
I trust. Yeah, I gotcha. That's when the gut mind needs to come in fully, because if you can see it, and then you're feeling into it, and then you need to start building your relationship with your gut. So
okay,
the gut's
so
going to tell you when it's right on the money or not.
Okay, I'll try that more than this.
Keep asking the heart and gut, and ask. Ask very literally.
Yeah, I do.
Dear heart, is this
does
true?
Does the gut show up, Elizabeth, in your head when you see it, or is that just your brain talking?
No, you'll feel it. You'll feel the gut. No, you'll actually physically feel the gut, and it'll either get excited about it, or it'll feel flat, or it'll contract. So keep working with
like
the gut,
and
if you're not feeling the gut, just keep giving it fermented foods, and you'll start to feel the gut more.
Mm.
Now,
okay,
all you need is the gut mind at this point. Yeah. Good.
Wonderful.
Thanks,
Diane. Much love.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Elizabeth, I'm excited. I'm sure everyone else is excited as well to find out what you're offering today. Because this has been, as I say, a fantastic, fascinating discussion. Love it. Just love it. You know, wish we could do Q&A all night long. But
true.
And we'll get you some more. We'll get you some more. But let me just tell everyone. So everyone, of course, they know by now, but everyone on the webcast page, click on the orange offer button underneath Elizabeth's photograph, and you'll be taken to a page that says the Spiritual Scientist Mastery Package. And if you're not on the webinar page, you'll need to type that in. And so you know that the address is wotashow.com Elizabeth, and then the number 6, and that's Elizabeth, the number 6. Everything's lowercase, and you can follow along visually. So if you wouldn't mind, Elizabeth, take us through that package.
Yeah, I'd love to. So the first part of it is, in my mind, probably the most important, which is that I'm including 2 small group calls. And here's why the group calls are actually, in my opinion, better than one-on-ones. Because divine timing brings together the exact perfect people every time. And I only allow 6 people a max per group call. So what will happen is that the exact right people get together on a call, and I allow feedback from the other members on the call. And that is something unique to my group calls. Most people don't allow that, but I'm not the only smart person around. So I believe that anyone showing up and any guidance that might be coming through on behalf of someone is going to be important. And those group calls usually will bring together people who have very similar issues, very, very literally. I've had just recently a group call, and every single person on that call was having trouble feeling energy in the body, for example. So the group calls are incredible because I can guide you in one session, and then you're literally getting 2 hours of incredible information that's meant for everyone on that call, even though it might be a single person reading at one at a time. And then we get to meet for a second call, so then you can follow up, because guess what? You're going to be implementing all kinds of resources that I'll be giving you. That's something I'm really known for, is making sure people have huge amounts of resources to help them with their next step. Then you can implement them and see what the measurable results are, or what measurable results you haven't received, and then we can address it again if we need to in another call, in our second call, or look at a different question. So I've found that these can be incredibly special and profound. Then the second part is that you get a subscription by signing up to be part of my community through emails. You get a subscription for a whole year to my monthly check-in calls. And these are really special calls because these are the awakened people who are attracted to the spiritual science piece. So you're surrounded energetically by all these folks of a like mind, and we address 90 minutes worth of questions. And I'll usually do like a half hour at the first part about what I've been experiencing. And then that really revved everybody up to be able to share and ask questions, and we talk for another whole 90 minutes. So 2 hours every month of calls that you can be participating in, and that can be really special. So then the second piece is that I'm provided 10 different master classes, but in sort of collections. And so the first collection is all about the 3 minds and true discernment. And so I've brought together 3 very in-depth classes, one about the brain, one about the heart, one about the gut. I mentioned earlier that I've only just tapped into a small amount of information about those 3 minds. And if you want it all, that's what I taught about.
Yeah.
So it's great. Then we have the full body discernment. This is exactly how to tell what is that false light I talked about, what is truth, and really clear, easy things that you can implement, a very clear process about how to discern. This is a step-by-step process to use the 3 minds consistently for discernment. Then we have a triog that I call the Applied Multidimensionality Series, and they're very high-level classes. These are not one-on-one classes. None of the classes that I've provided are one-on-one level at all. And so I don't think most of the people here are one-on-one level at this point.
Yeah.
So the Playground of Time is the first class, and if you want to know anything about timelines, and time, and how time functions, and what timelessness is, and anything about time, we get in really, really deep. But even better, We talk about how to help the people around you with their concepts of time, because that is so special, how we can help the people around us reach and attain those mindsets. Then there's the equations for enlightenment. We talk about very specific equations that we can implement, and there's three very different ones. One is has to do with the golden ratio. One has to do with sort of an equation for daily life, and the other has to do with sacred geometry. And so I talk about these three equations and how when we utilize them in a very particular way, we set ourselves up for success, which is full body enlightenment. And then there's a favorite that I just love. It's the soul skill sets. Turns out that each of us as souls, one of the things that makes us unique is that we have a set of skill sets as a soul. And it's really, really great to be able to know what are your soul skill sets. That can help you with discernment in ways that might have be surprising. So, for example, one of my soul skill sets is obviously that I'm a psychic. But there's a very heightened level of psychichood called being a seer. And then there's an even higher, more advanced level from there, the more unattached level of the oracle. And so what are the skill sets? How do you actually advance them? That's what I want to be able to offer you in that class. And I added in a little bonus call about how to tell which skill set is yours, because I list off all these skill sets. Well, which one's yours? Well, I tell you exactly how you can know which one is yours, which is quite handy. And then the next set is the Master Spiritual Scientist Collection Series, which is my class about quantum healing and remote viewing. How exactly does remote viewing work? How can you use it? How can you start to hone it enough to be able to do things like quantum healing and medical intuition, even for your own body, which can be very profound? And I included a worksheet to organize your notes with that class. Then we go into the science of ascension, because, well, what is this whole ascension idea anyhow? It's not us leaving the 3D. We're going to still stay in the 3D, but we're going to bring in all the other dimensions. How do we do that exactly? How are our bodies set up to do that? What are the different ways to look at the physics of the spiritual so that we can mentally, emotionally, and physically implement them in our daily lives? That's the approach I'd like to give you. And then there's this really special class called the Fields of Limitation and Limitlessness. It turns out that there's five very key universal programs that humans have been running for a very long time, which has kept us as very good energetic slaves. And when we shift out of those five programs, where do we go? We tap into what's natural, what's limitless. So, for example, the very first program that I discuss is actually called the Field of Limitation around False Value, that we value everything around us according to money. This is a very ancient concept that goes beyond just money, for example. Oh, that person is worth this many cows. Well, that's a false program. If you shift that program out of the way, what's left? Infinite value. That every single person, their time, every object around you, everything around you has limitless, unlimited, infinite value. And that's the truth. If we tap into that and we deprogram ourselves, you can actually experience your life in a more limitless way. This is probably one of the most important things I've ever taught about. And then just a fun extra bonus, my husband is a musician, and so am I, and we've created a compilation of meditation music just to help you out, because we love how music can basically break us through into journeys of the third eye, and that's exactly what my husband has been doing, and he goes by the name bioluminescence. So that's a nice little addition. But it's 10 classes, and again, they're all very advanced level stuff, and people usually listen to them over and over again, and none of them are short. They go at least 2.5 to 3 hours long, but that's how packed full of information they are that'll be useful to you forever. And so I really hope that this will continue to serve all of you in a really deep, deep, profound way. And we certainly will be able to work together in these group calls. And that can be actually on its own an incredible experience.
Wow. Beautiful. Well, such a generous, generous package. Just generous, not just with everything that you've included, but generous with your time that you're investing in here. And you really are making yourself available through these group calls and also those monthly calls as well. I just love the fact that you are so intimate with your clients and people in your community, and you're really, really thorough but yet easy to listen to. And certainly you have received some amazing, amazing gifts from the divine that you are sharing with everyone today. So Elizabeth, thank you so much for this really beautiful, special offer.
Wow, I really received that compliment, Ian. Thank you. And I really want to be as human and vulnerable, and I try to be humble as possible, because if people can approach someone who can truly see them with no judgment, truly, fully see them, feel them, and know them and their essence with no judgment, with the ability to run that light through and receive your light without any distractions, without any ego involved, that doesn't mean I don't have ego. It just means that I know how to set it aside. But to be able to be that level of light in someone's life, to see them and to validate them, is such a precious, amazing experience that I am the essence of wonder. That's my essence. And so I'm always amazed. I'm always surprised. I'm always in wonder. And that can be really refreshing. It's the bridge between science and spirituality is wonder. And if we can actually continue that through our interactions, then we're doing something huge. We're actually going to continue to get ourselves into that permanent golden age that we all deserve to be in. And sooner than later. So I'm very happy to give this robust, rich package in this way so I can keep that up, keep the momentum going.
Beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, for the web Q&A, Elizabeth, it would be wonderful if you could let them know what they're asking, and we can just maybe have a very, very short answer, relatively short
right.
answer, so we can get to many people on the web, because a lot of people have asked the question, and so maybe, you know, we'll get through quite a few so we can be of greater service to more people.
Yes.
So just let them know which of their three minds needs to open, and then if there's anything else that's coming through to share that, you know, by all means share it, but let's see if we can get through a few, okay?
Yes,
okay.
Very good.
Beautiful. Okay, Kathy from San Antonio, which of my three minds needs to be open right now?
Very good. So I'll describe how I'm seeing, and this can help people. So when I tap into Kathy, I'm asking the source field. I've never met Kathy. I don't know what she looks like. It doesn't matter. So I ask the source field, show me what Kathy needs to know, which three minds does she need to open at the moment. And so immediately I can see layers of light come in, and then that shows me a different picture, a more clear picture of what's going on with Kathy. So Kathy, you're holding a lot of anger in your root, which is blocking your gut from grounding into the earth. So you want to address that. Work on the deep trauma that's incurred in the very depths of your pelvis, and work with that, shift it out, and then replace it with light. Ground yourself every day by being barefooted with the earth. Get your hands into the soil. Hug some trees. Get into salt water. Or get quartz crystals and lay it on your body, especially your pelvis, and do healing of your trauma there. That's very key. You'll feel a lot more grounded and more expansive in your body if you do that.
Thank you. Brittany from California, same question. Which of my three minds needs to be opened right now?
So, again, I'm imagining Brittany. All I have to ask is, dear source, show me exactly what Brittany needs to know. And Brittany, you've got a block around your collective consciousness, your galactic and universal consciousness around the top of your crown. So Brittany, this is key. You're going to want to spend more time considering yourself as part of the collective. Now, that might mean that you're feeling separated from it because you're not so sure you like humans right now. And that's okay. Embrace that. Don't run away from it. Don't resist it. If you don't like humans right now, that's okay. So be willing to be okay with those feelings. And then tap into and just simply ask from the heart space, dear heart, please shift anything that's in my way from tapping into much higher states and layers of consciousness now. And then take a deep breath. And then welcome in, dear heart, please fill my whole body and field, especially my brain mind, with a connection to global, galactic, and universal consciousness now. It doesn't mean you have to understand what those levels of consciousness are. You're just asking for those layers of light to reconnect you to the grids that are available. So use that technique and see how it might help you to shift the block you have from being able to connect out of the subconscious to the divine.
Thank you. Glenn from Keswick, Ontario, Canada. Hi, Elizabeth. I've been told I'm a wizard with a block in my spine that keeps me from realizing my gift. Is there a chance that you can do anything for me?
Well, I'm going to empower you to do this for yourself. So, first off, usually people who come in with the abilities of the wizard are tapping into alchemy. And what will often happen is that we might use those skills in certain lifetimes, not for good things. And hey, I've done that too. So what we bring in will often be curses and all kinds of contracts and stuff like that. It's your chance now with the formlessness of the earth to just be completely free of karma and contracts entirely. So ground yourself bare in the earth. Do a ritual. Ritual is very, very key for humans. Humans have used ritual since the beginning to get things done and to move through what we call liminal space. So if you feel trapped in between spaces and feel trapped and you just aren't able to move forward, but you certainly can't move backwards, that's somebody who needs a ritual. So in your case, you need to look at everything that you've ever identified yourself as and write it down. Everything from I'm part of this family, I come from this lineage. For example, like I would have said, I'm the oldest of seven kids. I come from a specific type of family. I have this many degrees, and these are what they are, or whatever, among many things. Keep that list nice and rich, everything you can ever think of. I'm a cat owner. I am a mother. I'm a wife. All these different ideas. So keep that list very clear. Work on it. Anything you've ever identified yourself as, anything that you've ever identified as in the past life that you can remember right now, including wizard, by the way. And you're going to shift this by giving it away, being done with it. This is going to end the density in your spine that's blocking you, because you're going to be done with those lenses of trauma, those lenses of energy that aren't serving you at the moment. So how will you give it away? Well, you could burn it. You could turn it into a paper airplane and set it free. You could turn it into a paper boat and set it down a river. You could bury it. Whatever you want to do. Use the elements. And then be free of identity. Include your own name in that, by the way. And so as you free yourself from this identity, you're going to free yourself from the blocks in your spine, and then you're going to be able to tap into the very essence of what your nature is. And that's for you to find out. But that will be what will show up for you, and you'll want to work from there. What is your true essence? That's what you're trying to find out. And you'll be free of the contracts and karma that you have suffered with and be able to go enter into the next party.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Leslie from Yellow Springs, which of my three minds needs to be open fully right now?
So Leslie, you're one of these wonderful people who suffer from not being able to feel heard. And so many, many people on this call, many people feel like no one hears them, no one's listening, and that they're all alone. What will happen is a lot of trauma about not being heard fully or understood fully will build up in the throat and then cut you off, so that you're either only fully focused in the brain or only fully focused in the heart. In this case, Leslie, you tend to kind of bounce between the two, but you never feel like there's a congruency between the brain, heart, gut. So what do you do about the trauma in the throat? Well, first off, acknowledge that it's there. Just be with it. Notice it. Notice how your throat tenses up every time you think about saying something that might be important or might be kind of a confrontation of sorts, right? So if that's the case, then you'll want to be able to shift that trauma. The three ways that you can shift throat trauma out of the way so your brain, heart, gut can connect again is, number one, listening to other people who have actually ended the disconnect. So I'm one of those people, but there's others out there. Listen to people who use a power voice. What is a power voice? That's the second piece. Practice the power voice. Listen to others, because mysticism, for example, cannot be taught. It has to be observed and absorbed. So listen to this interview if you want to over again, and just simply tap into the energy of what a power voice is. So then the second piece is practice power voice. A power voice is when someone takes what they're thinking, and this is something I'm doing constantly without thinking about it anymore, but I had to train myself how to do it. So everything I ever think about to say, I let it drop immediately into my heart, and then I speak from my heart, which is why it's easy to listen to me, because I'm not speaking from my brain, I'm speaking from my heart. But you have to train your body to do that. So whenever you have something important or confrontational, especially, to say, think about it and then physically visualize or imagine it dropping into the heart, and let the heart put her take on it so that you can speak from there. And play with this, practice with it, with simple things, with easy things, and then harder things. And you'll see the difference, that people will hear you and they will want to hear you because you're not speaking from the brain alone. And then the third thing is sing. Doesn't matter if you're good at it at all. Sing in the shower if you have to. And every time you have any thoughts come up about how bad you're singing, sing louder.
What happens if you don't live alone?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Just sing as loud as you can. And here's why. The human body is so amazing. The human body's voice is unique in all the world. There are no other animals on this planet, not even Bigfoot, by the way, who's bipedal, like we are and walks on two legs, but not even Bigfoot can speak the way that a human does. Our voices are spectacular, and it's one of our greatest skills. So sing. Sing from your heart. Sing from your gut. Sing all of your pain out. Sing it, scream it, whatever you got to do, but make noise, because that allows the body to feel comfortable and shift all of the density and judgment out of the way naturally. So if you can just sing a cool song every day, or sing along with your favorite song in the shower once a day, in a week or so, and it doesn't take very long to reprogram these bodies, in a week or so you'll feel a whole lot different. You'll feel a different confidence. Your body will feel more clear because it's actually literally frequency-wise shifting density and trauma out of the way. So that's what I have to say about the throat being blocked as a function of blocking the brain and heart from connecting. And that's what I see for our friend.
Thank you so much. Well, everyone, Elizabeth is going to be on Facebook. That's the Wisdom of the Ancients group on Facebook to continue readings for just a little while after the show. But for right now, we're not going to take any more questions because we are going to have Elizabeth kind of wrap up for us. So Elizabeth, it's been magical today. Beautiful, beautiful show. It's been really wonderful. I really wish we could go on and on and on. I think
Right, we could.
We could. But yeah, we'll have you back, definitely.
Oh, thank you, Ian. What a wonderful compliment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been really nice and really special to have you here. I think everyone has enjoyed you, certainly as much as I have. But let me ask you, is there anything that you'd like to share with the community as we are winding this down, something maybe that I forgot to ask you or something that's come to you to share?
Perfect. Let me tap into just the people who are listening and the people who will listen. And I want to see what source brings for us. So as I do that, yeah, it's actually a message about New Earth. I like this term New Earth. I really do. I love it because it's something everyone can relate to, whether or not you've been on the journey or path for a long time or not. But first, I want to honor all of you who have been through many waves of consciousness. You need to be honored. The men and women who've carved the way, all of you who are older than me, and I'm 36 years old, so there's probably a lot of people older than me on the call. Anyone of that caliber, you have carved the way. Don't underestimate what you've done already. And please receive my greatest reverence, because you hacked away a path so that I could do this without persecution. Thank you. And secondly, as we continue on this path, we're in it together. We are all equal on the edge of consciousness. We're the ones writing the new ancient books. And we're the ones who, 1,000 years from now, people will look to us. There are those souls who carved the way for this permanent golden age. What is that golden age exactly? I'll name it for you. We are going to be emissaries of compassion and unconditional love to many, many galaxies, not just planets, galaxies. We will physically travel between many galaxies. We are going to bring the energy of compassion and unconditional love to species who have never had that concept. And we will be celebrated for that. And we won't have the arrogance and hubris that we might have had if we hadn't suffered. Take that to heart. your daily suffering is not for nothing. It's informing the whole collective of what is so important. What is love and what is not love? When humanity fully embodies that question and knows it from head to toe, that's what discernment is. And then we will actually rise to the occasion to be universal humans, not just global humans. We're globally conscious right now. Not just global consciousness, not just solar system consciousness, not just galactic, but universal consciousness. That's what we're shooting for. And that's what we will be emissaries of. Universal consciousness, love, and compassion. That's why, where we're going. And by knowing that and knowing that your experience feeds into that every day, whether or not you share it or not with your voice or your deeds, doesn't matter. The fact that you're experiencing anything keeps feeding back to the source field and the collective. Every single experience you have feeds back into the collective and the source field. And that is so key. Your experience every day is so important. Please don't undermine your daily experience anymore. You are so key to this experiment in consciousness, every single moment of your existence. And so, again, I just want to put out gratitude. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for this experiment. Thank you for your experience. Thank you for every bit of suffering and joy you've ever had, because it's helped and it will continue to help and make waves quantumly through reality. So that's the message I have, and it's certainly not exactly what I expected, but I'm so glad to be able to share it. Thank you, Ian.
Of course. Well, thank you so much again, Elizabeth, for being here. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Mine too.
And thank you, sweet souls. Thank you for being here, bringing your incredible energy. Thank you for everyone listening to the replay. It's truly a blessing to be here with all of you. Thank you for calling this forth. We thank Divine Mother, Divine Father, Mother Earth and Father Son, the Ancient Ones, all the beautiful divine beings of love, light, power, and service. Thank you so much, everyone. Bye now. Namaste.